Guys, how we doing? Good. Hey, my name is Parker Robb, if we haven't met. And today, I'm just going to teach you about accountability. And we're continuing in our series, We Over Me. And my bottom line, if there's one thing that I want you to hear and take away from my message, is to take action, to hold others accountable, and be held accountable. Okay, so take action, to hold others accountable, and be held accountable, okay? But before I open up the scripture that we're going to be teaching today, I'm going to pray for us. And so if you guys will bow your heads real quick, and I'm going to pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I just pray for our time, that it would be honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts to be open to your word, that you would teach us more of who you are, your love for us, and how we can walk with you. Pray for these students that this week that they would learn how to abide with you. And Lord, would I learn how to abide with you? So Lord, pray for our time. Pray anything that I say that is not in accordance to your word, I pray that it would not be received. But Lord, I pray that you would use your word to teach these students on how to be accountable. And Lord, use this time in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, guys, as I get started with my message, I wanted to just tell you, I want to ask you a question and then I want to tell you a quick story, okay? So raise your hand if you have ever made a New Year's resolution or at the beginning of the school year, you're like, hey, I want to do this by the end of the year. You've made a goal, any resolution or anything. Raise your hand. Yeah. A lot of us, right? Okay, put your hands down. About a year ago, I made a New Year's resolution that I was going to work out 5 days a week, starting at 5:45 in the morning. Isn't that crazy? And so, January 1, I woke up Monday morning, I got to the gym, grabbed the 100-pound dumbbells, started cranking it. I'm just kidding. I can't lift 100-pound dumbbells. But I started working out, and I went through my workout, and I was done. And I was like, man, I feel amazing. I used my time well. I worked out. I'm holding to my goal. And I did the next thing the next day. I woke up. I did it. I worked out. I felt great. Now, here's the question. How long do you guys think I lasted? 4 days? 3 days? 2 days? This girl on the front row is right. I lasted 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. And when Wednesday came around, I woke up, the 5:30 alarm woke me up. It was raining outside. It was warm in my bed. And I said, you know what? I'm good. And I stayed in bed. And guess what? I worked out a few times the rest of the year, but not consistently. And you're probably like, eh, that's a silly story. That doesn't really even make sense. But the reason why I tell you that story is because I'm convinced the reason why I didn't hold to my commitment is because I had no one to hold me accountable. No one in my life that was calling me at 5:30 in the morning, making sure that I was waking up, going to work out, even somebody to work out with. I was doing it all on my own. And so today we're going to talk about accountability. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Galatians 6. Galatians is in the New Testament. It's a letter that Paul wrote. And so Paul wrote a ton of letters to churches, and Galatians is a church in the city of Galatia, and it's just the people that he was writing to, the church. He wanted to encourage the church and continue to remind them of the gospel. And so we're going to be in Galatians 6 this morning. We're going to spend a lot of time just in verses 1 and 2, and we're going to reference some other verses, but mainly Galatians 6, 1, and 2. And the two questions that I want to answer through this text are, why do we do accountability, and how do we do accountability? Let me say that again. Why do we do accountability, and how do we do accountability? But let's read these two verses, and then we'll jump into it. So Galatians 6, 1 through 2, and it's going to be on the screen as well. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And so we're going to answer that first question. Why do we do accountability? And the first point on that question, to answer that question, is that accountability helps us to restore. Accountability helps us to restore. And from that first verse, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And so restore, that's kind of a, you know, a million-dollar word. I don't even know if million-dollar word's a term. But that's a pretty big word that could mean a lot of things. Restore basically just means to recover or renew, okay? To recover or renew. And in the biblical terms, the term restoration or restore, we see it throughout all of Scripture. Basically, a one-sentence explanation is restoration comes from God's work of renewing us back to himself through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That is restoration, that God is restoring us back to himself, okay? And I think sometimes in our lives, it's pretty obvious when we make a mistake. When we sin or we see other people make a mistake, you know, it's pretty obvious when you're like, man, I truthfully just told my parents a lie. Like, I didn't tell them the exact truth of what I was doing. Or, hey, tearing someone down at school, like, you know that feeling where you're like, man, I could have been nicer to that person. Or you stole something. Like, those are obvious things. And then some things that are not as obvious is like, hey, the thoughts that we have of like, hey, I'm better than that person. I'm not doing what that person's doing, so I'm okay. And sometimes it's pretty obvious. But also sometimes with sin, we can often drift. And we sometimes don't even recognize when we drift. And to kind of give you an example of this, raise your hand if you love going to the beach. Right? We all love going to the beach. I'm actually going to the beach this summer. I'm really excited. And my family, when I was growing up, we would go to the beach pretty consistently. We haven't been in a while, but every time when we went to the beach, my older brother and I, immediately when we got to the shore, we would just run straight out into the ocean. We'd try to swim all the way to the sandbar. Have you guys been to the sandbar? Yeah, it's super fun. But we would just start swimming out there. And then me and my brother would just spend, I mean, hours just hanging out, talking, splashing water in each other's faces, like just hanging out and not really paying attention to anything else that's going on. And I remember one specific time, my brother and I were just talking, hanging out, and it, like, time had just passed. And it felt like 5 minutes. It had been like 30 minutes to an hour. We weren't like swimming. We were just kind of like treading the water. And we look straight towards the shore, and we're like, where are we? Like, where did we go? And it turns out the current had took us an entire mile away from where our family was. And I was like, oh my gosh, where are we? And I give you guys that example because I think sometimes that's how our lives are, that we get so distracted that sometimes we look up and we're like, man, where did I go? Like, where? How can I get back? I didn't even notice the gradual drift that was in my life. And guys, if we're all being honest, this happens to all of us. This happens to me. That we drift. And what's important and why I think accountability is important is we need others in our lives to help us stay back on track. And to get really personal with you guys, when I was y'all's age, I grew up in church. I knew all the right answers. I went Wednesday night, Sunday night. Every time the church was open, my family was there. I knew all the right answers, yet my heart was far from God because I put on a good face. I had my act together. You know, if I just tried hard enough, like, I'll be good. But what was really inside was I was hiding a lot of sin from those around me because I just wanted to put on a good face. And I went through middle school and high school, slowly drifting, gradually. It's not really big moments that you always see and be like, hey, I made a really big mistake here. It's a gradual decision over time. And it really wasn't until college where I really woke up and I was like, man, I've just been trying to be a good guy, but I've been hiding in so much sin that I don't even know what I'm doing. And I'm drifting from an actual relationship with God because I'm just trying to manage myself. I'm just trying to put on a good face. And so my question for you guys is, hey, where do you feel like you've drifted? Because we all have at times. And are you trying to put on a good face for those around you? Trying to act like it's all okay when life really isn't all okay all the time? And are there people in your life that maybe are influencing the drift, that are leading you astray from the path of following God to the fullest that you can? Because guys, accountability really isn't just like, hey, calling other people out for the things that they do wrong, but it's to restore us back to the fullness with God. Because life with God is what's really going to satisfy us. And we need each other to help us believe that, because sometimes it's really hard to believe that and to trust that life with God is satisfying and is full of life when there's so much else in the world that might seem more appealing. And so accountability helps us to restore. Why we also do accountability is accountability helps us to reflect. So accountability helps us to restore. Accountability helps us to reflect. And in the second part of verse 1, it says, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. And so I think for us, it's easy to look around us and see mistakes that other people make or how other people mess up. And what we can be really callous to or closed off to is that we don't see that own sin in our lives, how we often can do the same thing as them. And sometimes we play this game in our head where we're like, hey, well, I'm not doing that, so what I'm doing is okay. Like, I'm not as bad as that person because I'm not doing that. And that's what's called self-righteousness, that we think that we're better than somebody else because we're not doing something. But even though we all have sin to recognize in ourselves. And I think as I was reflecting on this message, I'm like, hey, why do we think that we're better than other people sometimes? Because I often can fall in this as well. It's because I think in our minds, we create our own standard. We create our own standard of right and wrong, and you gotta be this way, and you're better if you do this, because we think we know better. But what I think we should pay attention to is what God says, what God's standard is. And have you ever said, you know, or thought, because I've done it too, is, hey, I'm not, because I don't lie to my parents, or like, I'm not doing that, like, I'm not as bad as like the kid that's fighting other kids. Like, you pick the most extreme example, like, I'm not as bad, like, it's no big deal. And what I want to show you guys is that we're all sinful inside. None of us are good. None of us desire to do good. We make mistakes constantly. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That in God's eyes, we're sinners. We make mistakes. We fall short of his perfect standard because God is perfect and we're sinful. And obviously because of the gift of Jesus, that we could be in relationship with him. That's the good news of the bad news. But we still need to take time to reflect at our lives. And reflection is really just internally looking at your personal life and evaluating how we're doing. And guys, we need to take time to reflect on the sin in our hearts before we start looking at sin in other people's lives. And for you, you might be, you know, you see somebody and you're like, hey, they're constantly just a mean person. But maybe inside your heart, maybe you're holding a grudge against them or against somebody else. Or, man, you continue to just little white lies, like just half-truths that aren't the full truth. Or maybe you choose to gossip about other people because you think it's going to give you more popularity or status or approval of others. Man, we all have something to reflect in our own hearts. And Matthew 7 talks about this in verse 3. It says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? First, take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." It says plank a lot and speck a lot. Basically, it's just, hey, look at your own sin, the ways that you fall short before we start calling out other people's. Because that's self-righteousness and being a hypocrite. And so accountability helps us to reflect. But now to my second question, hey, how do we do this? If we see other people in our lives that are doing something that we know that they shouldn't, how do we go about in helping them? If we're really called to do that, how do we do it? And so back to that first verse, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." And that, to answer that question, by the Spirit with gentleness. By the Spirit with gentleness. And I know that term, by the Spirit, you probably hear it around at church a lot, and sometimes it can get overused. But it's really right before chapter 6 of Galatians. Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. You probably have heard them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That when we receive Christ into our hearts, that the Holy Spirit comes in us, and through us, he uses the fruits of the Spirit to minister to people. That those aren't our natural tendencies. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not always joyful. But with God's Spirit, I can choose to be joyful, and he can use joy in my life. Because I think in our own lives, in our own minds, like if we see sin or we see ways that people are doing wrong, hey, we want to respond out of hurt, frustration, disappointment, and anger. But Paul says, hey, restore them gently. By the Spirit, let the Spirit lead you to respond gently towards them and allow God to soften your heart to speak the truth. You know, we want to be truthful, but do it in love. Another verse that he talks about, Paul wrote, Ephesians 4:15 says, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, which is Christ." Guys, that our lives are meant to be a reflection of Jesus on a daily basis. And the way that we interact with people should be how Christ interacted with people. And guys, there are a lot of people that aren't going to respond well if you come to them and call them out of anger and frustration, and you judge them for mistakes that they've made, because you're going to lose people's trust for just pointing out what's wrong in them without love and care. And what's really, really important, guys, and I want you guys to hear, the best thing that you can do is sit with someone and listen and ask questions. Don't jump to conclusions of being like, okay, I see this, I'm gonna call it out immediately. Sit and listen and ask questions, because there might be more under the surface going on in what is happening in their life, and they're acting externally out of what's happening internally. But we want to show people and our friends that we love them and that we're with them. But when we get to that point where we've listened well, you know, we've asked good questions, but now we need to respond and hold them accountable and say, hey, what I think you're doing is not the best. A good way to do that is just to address them and say, hey, so-and-so, whatever their name is, based on what you're saying, I see this in your life. I want you to know that I love you and I want what's best for you, but I really don't think that this is best. And here's why this isn't best. But I love you enough to tell you that this isn't best. And so we, by the Spirit, with gentleness, restore people. And the second thing is we stay in their lives. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. That after we call each other out and say, hey, I don't think this is what God would have for you. I don't think this is what's best. That we need to be in their lives. That verse says, carry each other's burdens. And what that means is it means you feel the weight of their situation, the things that they're struggling with, and you come alongside them and you love them. You love them even if they do the same thing again. You're going to be by their side to continue to help them and encourage them. That you're going to try to help them run away from what is holding them back. That you check in on them. That you be with them. And lastly, you pray for them. Man, so often I can forget to do that. To pray for my friends that are having a tough time. Because guys, true friends, let me just help you guys out. True friends stay in each other's lives. Life is hard. There's a lot of conflict. There's hardship and pain. And true friendship is sticking with people in the midst of the hardship and pain, even when it's tough. And so maybe, guys, there's something even in your life that you're struggling with. Maybe there's something as you're sitting there and you're like, man, I've been trying to get over this, or I'm trying to be better at this. You're like, man, I need help. Because we all do. We all have struggles. And I would encourage you guys to open up to people and say, hey, I need help. I need someone to hold me accountable to trying to grow in this, and that I can trust God in the midst of this struggle and know that his way is best. And at the end of that verse, it says, hey, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ simply is the way that Jesus lived, that he loved the Father, and he followed the Father, and he loved others. And he calls us to do the same, that we are to love others. And so, like I said before, my bottom line, if there's one thing that you can take away, take action to hold others accountable and be held accountable. And guys, a lot of you are probably in a small group. And if you're not in a small group, we'd love to get you connected. And being in a small group, hey, I'm so proud of you guys for jumping into a small group. But being in a small group doesn't mean that you have accountability. That's something that you have to seek out, that you have to make a decision to do. And you have to invite others into your life. You have to share the hard things in your life with others. And you gotta start with being authentic and share what's going on. And so who can you ask to hold you accountable? And I would just encourage you guys to take that step. Maybe it's a small group leader. Maybe it's just another friend in your small group that you trust. And go to them and say, hey, I want you to hold me accountable in this area in my life. Because we can all grow in that. And so take the next step of doing that. And let's help each other continue to follow God in the way that we live and love others. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Lord, I just pray that we would go out and love others the way that you love them. And God, that we'd hold each other accountable to the way that you would want us to. And God, I pray that these students would go and share their lives with others and just be continually encouraged by the way that you're working in their small group and in their life. So God, I just pray for this week that you would use them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.